the Armed Forces of the United Nations, the Special Service Division of the War Department of the United States of America presents the Sports Interview. Hello, men. This is Private Joe Hassel, USA, with another sports interview. Our guest on this program is Greg Rice of the New York Athletic Club, formerly of Notre Dame, and the world record holder at 2 miles. Greg, where did you first do any running?
Joe, I began my running out in Missoula, Montana as a grammar school boy, running then in Boy Scout track meets and in neighborhood meets.
Did you do any running in high school?
Yes, Joe. In high school, I competed in the half mile and the mile. In that time, I found that in the neighborhood running that I wasn't too good at 120 yards, and I had a little colored boy there named Leo Lundy who used to show me his heels each time, so I decided to try a little longer distance and see if I couldn't be a winner, and was successful at these distances and maintained running these until my sophomore year in college.
Did you go in for any other sports besides track, Greg?
Yes, in high school I was like any other American boy. I tried my hand at all of them. I competed on the football team as a quarterback, winning my monogram in three years, and played basketball as well in the high school sports. Of course, you have to remember we were out there in a little populated town, and my smallness and size didn't mean so much. It was a little scrap and fight sometimes, but I was able to get by.
Greg, do you recall the first time that you ever ran in competition?
Yes, I do. I recall just vaguely, though. I was only in the second grade in grammar school at that time, and we had a little distance race for the boys. The exact distance I don't recall, but I do know that I outlasted some of the boys who were in the eighth grade and came in at that time in second or third place and for a pencil set that the school was having that day in a little class affair.
Greg, you did your college running for Notre Dame. Is there any story behind why you went there?
Yes, there is, Joe. It's a very interesting story in my viewpoint. And again, it's one of those things that come up and fate takes its hand. We had a very good, excellent pole vaulter who had done 12-10 for our high school, Missoula County High. And the community, after the hard work and diligent driving and assistance of his ability to the community, had the collection taken from the merchants of the city, and after the total had been arrived at, they discovered they had an excess of funds to ship the coach and Fred to Chicago for the National Interscholastics. And since I was the next boy in school in line, and my father worked for the Northern Pacific Railroad, and I had free transportation, I was taken along for the buggy ride. But as the event turned out, the year before, 12 Feet had won the National Interscholastic Pole Vault, and we felt that our high school was going to be represented with a first place in Fred Stein, but two boys showed up from Texas who that year set a new all-scholastic record of 13 feet 4 inches for high school boys in the pole vault, and Fred had to be satisfied with a sixth place within a few boys from California who later were college stars doing over 14 feet. And that afternoon, in a very fine race by Blaine Rideout, one of the later Texas Tech or North Texas teacher boys, I got into a fast field and was pulled along to finish second that time, doing better than I had ever done previously in running.
Well, that was where Johnny Nicholson of Notre Dame first saw you, wasn't it, Greg?
That's right. Certainly great. He saw me from the stands that day and kept in contact, like all Notre Dame men do, with another Notre Dame graduate out in Helena, Montana, who watched me since I was a sophomore. That time I didn't meet Coach Nicholson, and I knew nothing about the fact that he was interested in me, so that he wanted no pressure put on me, wanted to see what I'd do on my own, I guess. And I had the good fortune 2 years later to be on my way to Notre Dame.
Wonderful. Greg, I know you've had hundreds of races. What one that you ran in college stands out in your mind possibly as the greatest one in college?
Well, I have two races in college. There were two different races that stand out greatly. One was a mile race in which I was running against Mel Trutt from Indiana. Mel Trott had defeated me consistently since my freshman year. In fact, I had never won a race from Mel Trott in college, running him at the mile. And on our last Indiana State Collegiate Championships, I was very determined that that day, it was one day that I was going to defeat Mel because it would be my last chance in college competition. And I was successful that day, running a different race than I'd ever run before, running a front race. And in running that front race, I was able to defeat Mel just as he had defeated me by a few inches. Mel now, by the way, is out in Australia.
How about all your races, Greg? Taking them all into consideration, which one would you say gave you your greatest thrill?
Well, the greatest thrill I believe I ever received from running was when I defeated in Madison Square Garden Taste O'Mackey, primarily because it was a dual victory. It was a victory in which one in which my coach and I shared, the late John P. Nicholson of Notre Dame, because he had always preached and had driven into my mind that someday we would be able to defeat the Finns at their own game, that is distance running. And it was his point and his desire that we develop someone who could defeat them, and I was very pleased and happy that it was a Notre Dame boy and that I was the boy who did it.
Wonderful again, Greg. It was at Notre Dame that you became one of the world's great runners, Greg, and what was behind all that? In other words, how'd you do it?
Well, I did it only because of Coach Nicholson. I came to Notre Dame, as I said, in high school. I ran the half mile and the mile, and came with the burning flame to follow in the footsteps of Glenn Cunningham, who was my idol as a runner. And as you all know, probably, Glenn Cunningham was a great miler and the greatest runner America has ever produced. And it took 2 years for Coach Nicholson to break me away from the desire to be a miler. He instilled in me the confidence that I could run the distance races better, and that was more or less the reason why I ran better at distances, because of the continually driving and the inspiration that I received from my coach, who always was trying to take away the idea that I had that I would be a miler and instill in me the fact that I was a little too small and that the swift cadence that was necessary for the mile was probably not within my physical limitations. He explained, of course, the limitations that I had to defeat and how they could be applied better to the two-mile running. And I owe the fact that I was able to improve in distance running because he was able to correct me and my mental thinking and give me the confidence and the desire to run a good 2 mile.
Greg, when you're running that long 2 miles, just what thoughts run through your mind?
Well, Joe, in a 2 mile, it's different occasions or different thoughts, but most times I find that thoughts are dwelt a great deal upon your competition, and your competition is the thing that you have to beat. It takes a great deal of your time just trying to figure out when and how he's going to move. I find that it certainly helps when you can concentrate your mind on the fact that the other fellow is keeping you interested in watching him rather than feeling sorry for yourself and how tired you are becoming. At other times, when you're running and maybe the competition isn't, that particular race isn't holding up as well, your mind becomes easily diverted to thinking of yourself and how hard the race is becoming. In those cases, though, a great deal of the time, especially when you're running indoors on smaller tracks as you do during the winter season, the same thing doesn't apply because you're busy calculating your timing so that you know how fast you're going and whether you'll be distributing your ability over the entire route.
Greg, what would you say was the most terrifying thing that ever happened to you in competition?
Well, I would say the most terrifying thing that happened to me happened a year ago in the opening of the Madison Square Garden indoor campaign in the Melrose Games. In that particular race, I was running against a boy who was making his second start in Madison Square Garden, a boy who I knew as having had seen compete out at the Beloit Relays in Wisconsin. knew his ability, although he was doubtful in as far as indoor running was concerned. And that night he was forcing the pace, and at the beginning of that race I had the strap, the rider on my truss brake, and I became more a greater handicap for whether it was going to do me any physical harm or not during that race, running without the protection for my hernias. And during that race, I was behind and had nearly a 30-yard lead on me, and it became a great mental handicap, but it didn't prove to be too disastrous. Nothing physically happened to me. I checked up the next day with the doctors, and I did myself no harm, yet it was very hard ordeal in trying to determine whether I should drop out of the race or continue throughout the race, since he had the lead, and it was very hard to drop out because I was being beaten.
Well, Greg, in other words, you've been running these tough 2 miles in tough competition with a double hernia, haven't you?
That's right, Joe.
Well, Greg, the reason we ask you that is we know that you've tried to get into the Army, the Navy, and the Marines, and that's the reason that they had to turn you down. Greg, do you know what other runners in other countries are doing?
Well, I received just this winter a letter from a Russian distance runner, a 5,000-meter man, and also he said that he preferred the 20 kilometers, which is a little beyond my distance and getting up closer to marathon running. And he wanted to know what the boys here were doing in far the athletes, whether they were used as he was as an instructor there to condition the athletes or condition the soldiers so that they may go to the front in good physical condition. He said that he had made numerous requests to go to the front lines himself, but his superior officers had informed him that he was more useful in the work that he was doing, and he was anxious to know what the American athletes were doing in the war effort.
Greg, I know you do a lot of running indoors and outdoors. Which do you prefer? Do you prefer running indoors or out of doors?
Well, I've been more successful, Joe, in running indoors, and so my preference will lie there. Indoors, it seems that my smallness and short stride is easily adapted to the curves. I've been very successful at running indoors. The competition there, the fact that we have 8 consecutive weeks that in which we have an opportunity to have steady meets since I've gotten out of college is a very important factor. Outdoors, it's very indefinite. Matter of fact, now there's only one race that I'm positive of in the outdoor season, and that's the national championships. Although I know that there'll probably be others, they're all very indefinite, and the tracks and things are much different outdoors. I'm a great worrier about conditions, and indoors I always know that it's going to be the same board track and that it's going to be the same smoky arena, and that things are going to be as they always have been before. There won't be a heavy wind or shower storm come up in the middle of the night and drench the track.
Thank you, Greg Rice, world record holder at 2 miles, formerly of the University of Notre Dame and now of the New York Athletic Club. And so, that's the sports interview for you fighting men of the United Nations. This is Private Joe Hassel, USA, saying so long and reminding you that I'll be back soon with another sports interview and another outstanding guest. This program was produced by the Special Service Division of the War Department of the United States of America.